Shall we turn to the book of Joshua, and we'll read together in the third chapter, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4 in the King James. Joshua chapter 3. I noticed Walter was on Joshua this morning. Praise the Lord. He's doing his consistent thing here with us. We don't keep comparing notes, but God gives us such harmony. Praise his name. Joshua chapter 3, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Some are looking for Joshua. He's around there somewhere, just after Deuteronomy. All right, here we go. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. I'd like to refer back to the previous chapter that we finished on last Sunday evening. A thought here for those that weren't here. In chapter 2, verse 19, I think it's something that needs to be emphasized today, which we're living. Joshua 2:19, it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And so it is, that when we accept the Lord Jesus, it's not just enough to say, I go through the four steps of salvation. It's not just enough to say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. It's not just enough to say, I believe in Jesus, Savior, Healer, Baptizer, and soon coming King. What must we do? We must abide in the house. We must abide in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you abide in me, ye shall bear fruit. And as we've said many times, salvation is not a ticket to heaven. It is an opportunity for restoration. It is an opportunity to become in God's image. It's an opportunity to grow. It's an opportunity to be released. And so we find in 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That is with God. It's talking about with God. And the blood cleanses us from all sin. Now, there's an if there. If we would abide under the blood, then we must abide in Jesus. The blood cord that was typified by Rahab's rope of red cord only works as long as you are in the house. You can't say, I received Jesus and go back in the world. You can't do it. And we feel sometimes today that salvation is preached without repentance. No, people didn't change their mind. They didn't say, I'm not going to live like I used to. They just say, hallelujah, this is wonderful. I got all this in heaven too. Well, this is not Bible. It is not the way the gospel was preached in the book of Acts. That was not preached that way. They preached repentance. You can read it. The gospel, the apostles preached repentance. They said, God has sent Jesus to turn us away from our sins. And so, if we are saved people, that means we are abiding in the house. We are abiding in Jesus. And we say today, well, what about the multitudes of Christians who are not abiding in the Lord. They're kind of doing the thing. Will they be saved? Will they go up when the trumpet blows? I can't answer for each individual, but I know in the day in which we live, if you don't keep yourself in Christ and under the blood, you're liable to come on terrible times. And you're liable to find that God will judge your household and you will be reduced into great pain and suffering, which would have been unnecessary if you had stayed with God. And the purpose of the great pain and suffering is to bring you back to where you should be living. Praise the Lord. We are not in any day to fool around. And when people go out from under the covering, whether it's a child out of our family, whether it's a relative, a sister, a brother, a mother, a father, whoever it is, they, like it says, your blood's on your own head. And if you don't expect Jesus to be nice and everything and a gentleman and a scholar and a nice little guy, because he's not that way. He's not that way. That's a false image. He is a fierce, cunning emperor. And we love him because he's our shepherd and our Lord, but he is also our king. And when he says to do something, we have to do it. Praise the Lord. So the covering, the protection, as God's army gets ready to invade, when the Lord comes, it will depend upon our abiding in Christ. You say, what does it mean to abide in Christ? It means do his will. Well, what is his will? Well, you have to present your body a living sacrifice to find it. You cannot live the typical American life and be in Christ. You can't do it. Our culture is anti-God. We see this more every day. It is hostile to the gospel, increasingly so. It's regrettable. Audrey and I are praying every day that God will turn the country around. But in the meanwhile, we must recognize it is hostile. The press is hostile. We are not in a nice, friendly situation. We are in a thing that is trying to keep us neutral and passive and meek and mild and stuffed with food and idle and playful. Deliberate pressure from our society and Satan in our society to do that. And you and I are not of this culture. We are not of this world. Yes, we are patriotic. I'm not saying that. But we are not of this present culture. We go back 25 years. We go back to 1610. Well, that's when we go back in America, when our forefathers landed at Plymouth Rock. That's the America that we stand for. People who have come to serve God. And we today who are Christians, we are servants of God. And we want people to know that. And we don't need all this worldliness. We don't need it, and we don't believe it, and we don't want it. Praise the Lord. We want only Jesus, and we're ready to die for the gospel by his grace. Praise the Lord. Or whatever else God requires as he gives the courage and the strength. All right, now, and notice in 2:24 of Joshua, God, they said unto Joshua, truly, the Lord has delivered into our hands all the Lord, all the land. Let's read that together in the King James. That's so important. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Now, if we could see in the spiritual realm, and if we could see the hosts of hell, we would realize they are deathly afraid that we will discover this, that we will find this out. And they run a constant bluff. You can't overcome sin. You can't get healed. You can't be a businessman without being dishonest. You can't keep a job if you're going to be a Christian. You can't. It's a constant bluff. And they are afraid that we will discover that their power was crushed on the cross. I find out today that God's people are afraid of the devil and not of God. Have you ever noticed that? God's people are afraid of the devil and not of God. That's just backwards. We're supposed to fear the Lord, but we have no fear of the devil. His power was destroyed, and we do not have to serve him. The devil, the fallen angels, and the demons are interlopers in the physical realm. They do not belong here. This is not their world. Sin does not belong here. Disobedience to God does not belong here. None of that wicked spiritual realm belongs here. It belongs to people, And it doesn't belong to all people, but the people who are serving Jesus Christ. It is our world. The meek shall inherit the earth. Ask of me and I'll give you the heathen and the uttermost part of the earth for your possession. Cigarette smoking doesn't belong in this world. Booze doesn't belong here. Lying doesn't belong here. Disobedience to God does not belong here. This is God's world. And a constant bluff is run on us that our place is heaven and this belongs to the devil. That's a lie from the pit. The kingdom of God is the doing of God's will on the earth as it is in heaven. Now, we're going to take it. The host of God is going to take it. We are going to take it. The book's already written. The ending's already here. When Jesus comes, we are going to win. We're not going to lose. We're going to win. The devil already knows what his destiny is. It's the lake of fire, along with Antichrist and the false prophet, and everyone whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But that's so unfortunate, because all can be saved. This is not the devil's world. He is an interloper. God already has given us into our hand. He did that on the cross. He stripped Satan. He ruined his power. He wrecked his power. He destroyed his power. He took away his authority. He took away every right that he has for this world. Hallelujah. Now, it's about time we woke up to that fact. Praise the Lord. And we see people going downhill, and there's no need for it. There is no need for it. And we would give them the shirt off our back. We would give them anything we could, but they are licking themselves. And you know, it's an amazing thing over the years, and I'm sure you've all had this experience too. It's an amazing thing over the years to watch people. Every Christian starts at the cross. Every Christian starts at the same beginning point. Everyone has the same Christ, the same opportunity, the same forgiveness. And then you watch people over a period of 20 years, 30 years, and you see a great company start out with joy in the kingdom. Every one of them, Christ has made the way for them. And you see some that have gone along about 6 months. Some young man, and then his girlfriend will tell him, you go on with the Lord, you lose me, and he loses the Lord and goes with his girlfriend. That licked him. You lose a lot. Then, after the first couple of years, I'm like beginning teachers in the public school, or beginning students in a college. When the pace quickens, you lose another group. Year and a half or 2 years. You lose some on money. You lose some on discouragement. You lose some because when they come off the honeymoon with God and finally get down to where it's rugged or there's a test of their character, they say, well, you know, if it's going to be like this, they can keep it. And so they tried something else new and it, quote, didn't work. And they're gone. And out of that original group, there's a smaller group going on. And after a period of about 10 years or so, this group will go through real crises. Real crises. One of these things that happened to us a couple of times in our life where we're driven down to the rock or cut to the bone till there's nothing left but just our, I guess, naked will to survive. And you lose some there. Some die. Some divorce their wife. Some just give up. And a smaller group goes on, just like through school or through sports elimination or any other competitive situation in which there's everybody runs but not all receive the prize. And the group narrows down and narrows down. And you look and you know why it is. You know why it is. It isn't because some are fought harder than others. It isn't because Jesus is faithful to some and not others. I think prayers pray a good deal a role in it. I think it's a great advantage to have Christian people praying for you. I think it's a tremendous advantage to have a godly parents, people who are in there hanging in there for you. I think it makes a difference. It did for Lot. But you know, the frightening thing is that all of us have the power at any time to call it quits. And you know, sometimes you look at people and it seems like they're saying, help. And there's times you can, and there's times you can't. There's times it has to come from within. And you know, you know. If they make the wrong choice, they're going to stop. You know. And you just, all you can do in that kind of a situation is to pray. And if you're here this morning and you're a Christian and you've come to a place of impasse, let me tell you something. This is a serious game. And you can whip yourself. You can listen to God and say, nah, push me. You can listen to people and say, no, push me. And people will help and God will help. And finally, there comes a time when it's up to you. And I want you to remember something. If you will stand up on your hind legs and bark like you mean it, the devil will get off your back. If you will stand up, if you will say enough of this, if you will kick whatever the thing is that's destroying you and get it out of your legs, you will find that God already has made that provision. It's there. The wall may be black in front of you, but from within you is going to have to say, I choose to conquer. And if you do not, what then? Well, I have a bad word and a good word for the what then. We have to be careful. You know, you wouldn't believe it from the way I preach a lot of time, because I sound hard, and I am hard, and I'm sure I hammer a lot of people on the head. I'm sorry, and yet I'm not sorry. There's other people who will pour in the oil. We all can't do all things, so I'm willing to learn from the Lord, but what I am, I am. It's like I heard a fellow say yesterday, I don't know what you expected, but this is what you got. Praise the Lord, I like that. You know, no use apologizing for yourself. Lord, you do it. So, what you are, you are. But would you believe it? Many, many times, I am really tempted hard to compromise. To not compromise in the sense of sinning, but in kind of lessening back on the word just a little more to sound a little more conventional, a little more nice. Terrible English, I'm sorry. Do you know that's a fact? It's hard to hold a scripture. The Gospels are tough. They don't mince words. They're not a nice formula for happiness in this world. They're severe. They're totally demanding, totally challenging, and they have no room for self-pity. Jesus lays it down. If you turn back, you're not fit for the kingdom. We wouldn't want to say that, Lou. We wouldn't want to say to any nice person, if you turn back once, you're not fit for the kingdom. And so, I really fall into that every once in a while. And so, when I say I have something good I want to say, but before I do, I want to tell you what the Word says. In Revelation 21, the first class of people in the lake of, not in the lake of fire, the first class of people who are barred, that's the answer one. The first class of people who are barred from the New Jerusalem are not the whoremongers, they're not the drunkards, they're not the liars. Do you know who they are? The timid. Now that's not our standard, and that's not our way, but I have to follow what the Bible says. Order is important in the Word of God. It is no blessing to God to have a timidity, because this is a day when crowns are at stake
in timidity will lose you the whole thing.
So what I'm trying to say is, if you're a timid person in our culture, in our way of thinking, in our value setup, we say, well, here's a poor little person and they're timid. We don't look on that as sin. We see somebody out here with a mask over his face and a gun in his hand, he's robbing a bank. That's it! But if you look at somebody and they're just a shrinking violet, we are apt to want to protect them. Back, am I right? All right, then we have to revise what we're thinking, don't we? Because the first class who are barred from the holy city are the timid. And I told you the bad part. And I'll tell you the good part. It is my personal conviction, and I told this to Audrey, and I think she's in agreement, that this world is a tough place. It's a tough place. This is not easy. And I think what we'll find out when we leave Earth and go to heaven is that it was an exceedingly difficult place to do anything at all. Anything at all. I think the place is surrounded by demons like a beehive, like wasps around a hive. And so, two things are true. One, if you can do anything right, you're going to have great reward because you are being tested severely. Another thing that is true is we ought to have fantastic compassion one for another. Do you realize that? Do you realize we all hurt and are afraid most of the time? Can you hear me? We all hurt and are afraid most of the time from some reason or another. If you're not in that group, praise the Lord, you've got a praise report. But most of us hurt in one way or another and are afraid of something most of the time. And so when somebody does something that irritates us or doesn't go along with the way, just the way we think, we're apt to lash out. Because we said, they're increasing my pain. And we've got to keep, I said to Audrey, you know, we work with wonderful people and we've been with wonderful people all our life. And while many of them have not done what we think they should have maybe, or what we've had to grit our teeth and do and then watch them not even make any attempt to do, you know, the temptation when you're hurting yourself is to just say, down with them. You know what I mean? And we've got to recognize it's not an easy thing for anybody. When we go to heaven, it'll be all over. Praise the Lord. I could just see the Lord. He just puts us in this impossible place. And what he's saying is, go get them for the glory of God and the kingdom of Christ and the good of the world. Go get them. And he's not a slacker. And I make no apologies for laziness or indolence. And the Bible doesn't. But let's keep back in our mind that one of these days, these people that I mentioned, after serving the Lord for 10 years, they finally give up. And God takes them. You know, the challenge is over. There'll be wonderful people in heaven. So what I'm saying, I guess, is two things. One, don't give up. God loves you. And someday you're going to look back and realize it's a miracle I accomplished anything whatsoever. And you look at people in the church and think, boy, they're all doing swell. There's Blondie and Dagwood, and there's all these people over here, and all they do, you know, is worry about a salesman at the door, or it's all nice, it's a sunny neighborhood, and all swing sets and beautiful, and isn't it lovely? That's the way you look at people. But if you could look into the hearts of every person here, you'd find tragedy, disillusionment, fear, wonderment, things that they have to forgive that are nearly impossible. Praise the Lord. That's true. That's true. And so I'm saying a word of encouragement. Don't quit. God expects you to stand up straight, to straighten your legs, and remember, it's just as hard for your brother and he or your sister, and they are not being mean to you because they've got it made. And they're just having fun giving you an extra shove. They're scrambling for their survival, and you're scrambling for your survival. And we need to encourage one another in the Lord, because it's a rough go for everybody. Praise the Lord. There was a very famous king of Spain, and he had conquered much land in Europe. And he said his wife's ambition was to drop the kingship and go and be a monk in a monastery.
And people say, "Well, you know, what have you got in mind?" He says, "A king's way is strewn with thorns."
So we need to recognize that everybody, every one of us, is in the same boat. We need to recognize that we're in an illumination contest, just like school or anything else. And you're going to see people drop by the way. As we're in the kingdom message and the kingdom move, you're going to see people go, and you're going to be forced to stand back and realize you can know what they're doing wrong. You know what they're doing wrong. And you tell them, and they cannot hear you. They cannot hear you. And the only thing you can do is just keep going. One foot in front of the other. God is after an elect. He's out to get a remnant. He's out to get a hundredfold group, not to crush others. That isn't the point. But God is after kings and priests that will glorify His Son under any and all circumstances. He is after overcomers. He is after conquerors. He is after people who are going through the same thing that you are, who have no more brains, no more opportunity, no more hope, no more grace. And the only difference is they just kept going. And I say, by way of encouragement, if there's anyone in here this morning and you feel it's too much, and you begin to get the woe is me, Satan will move on that thing like radar. I mean, he will be on your case. Because there is hope that you have given him. You have given him hope that if he adds one more increment, you might not get that place that he covets so earnestly that he'll never make it. He'll never get what he wants because it was given to Jesus Christ. But like all spiteful creatures, he'll get some satisfaction in denying you. That's all he's got left, is to tear down what he can, because the kingdom is lost to him. And you don't stand alone, because when you decide to straighten your back and say, "Praise the Lord," when the last thing in the world you feel like saying is, "Praise the Lord," your brother or sister who's going through the same thing looks at you and they figure, "Well, there must be hope in Zion. The group is making it. Maybe, maybe God will pull it out somehow, and I'll make it." But when you came, then other people have to carry their load and yours. Praise the Lord. Because if one member of the body suffered, we all suffer. So your victory is a victory for God, for Christ, for the holy angels, for all of heaven. And realize that the devil is a liar. And he cannot do it to you. To be destroyed, you must destroy yourself. You must permit unbelief to govern you. And if you will say, "I ain't going to do it, I refuse," and stand up like the Hebrew children, they said in the face of hell to the king, they said, "We're not even going to be careful how we answer you. We're not going to pick our words. We're not going to play your game. We're not going to be politic or nothing. We simply are not going to bow down." You can call it rashness or what you want to, but it gets the job done. Praise the Lord. So it isn't those. Now there's crowns at stake. And God has already given us the victory because of the cross. But we have to, with our mouth, your mouth is what either gets it or doesn't. If with your mouth you're saying, "Woe is me, what is it?" in the hope that people will run to your rescue, they can't. They can't. God has so constituted us that we can only help one another to such a point. And after that, there's nothing we can do. We need to help ourselves. So, don't confess that. Don't even let the devil hear it, that you're discouraged. Don't breathe it out. Just when you open your mouth to saints or to heaven or to whoever it is, say, bless God, Jesus is Lord, and He is ruling, and I am ruling with Him. Hallelujah! And let hell hear about victory! And you'll find that these spooks that have got you spooked will leave. But in the last analysis, the choice is yours. And you will take your destiny depending upon whether you choose to believe God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. The inhabitants of the country do things. And that is valuable military knowledge. Do you see what I'm saying? So you just talked about how Jesus rose from the dead and you rose with Him. That's the only military knowledge that the enemy needs to hear. They don't need to hear that if one more thing happens to you, you'll throw in the towel. Because they'll sure see it happen. Okay, but everybody loves you and we're all rooting for one another. One man's victory is another man's help and assistance. And someday, before too long, it'll be all over. And when you're up there in heaven and the devil's gone and the world's gone and there's no more temptation and no more lust, you know, and you realize that you had your shot and it's over, you know what you're going to say? Well, man, where are you? Just bring them around here. We'll show them who's an overcomer around here. And God will say, well, you should have done all that, you know, when you were down there. All right. All right, we find in Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. I will entitle this verse, Get Up Early in the Morning. Show some diligence. There's no place in the kingdom for laziness. Joshua rose early in the morning. And they removed from Shittim, that is from the Acacias, and came to Jordan. Now, Jordan is the place of death to self. The Red Sea is the place of death to the world. Water baptism. But Jordan is when you finally tell God you've decided to become a real Christian instead of just a nominal Christian. You're ready to take up your cross. You're ready to quit the world. You're ready to go ahead into victory with the Lord. You come to Jordan. And it says they lodged there. And God is a God of preparation. There was a lodging. There was a place where God gave them. You see, that's the way God works. Ordinarily, God does not hurl you into things for which you're unprepared. Ordinarily, there's a place of lodging. There's a place in which you begin to get a sense that you are at a point of change. Has anybody ever experienced that? Well, you knew that change is coming in the spiritual realm. There's a place of lodging. And, you know, you'll pray and say, well, which way is the Lord? And sometimes there'll be two or three or four alternatives. And it may get down to two, and you realize I'm going to go one way or the other. And I'm not sure which way is God. And when you're in that place of lodging, what you do is you hold steady. And, you know, it's like Sister Gillies was saying one time. She came to such a place, and she put out three fleeces to the Lord. I'm not a believer in fleeces, and I don't put them out because I don't think that's a good way to do battle for the Lord. It's like superstition. But anyway, it happens. I guess in spite of all of us, we're kind of looking for omens. And she put out these three fleeces to the Lord. And right away, bang, bang, two of them came to pass. Now she's ready to pack. But the third one never came in. It never came in. And sometimes, you know, you know what it reminds me of? Do you ever see this thing where they say, with a real so-and-so stand-up? My wife says, you're inconsistent. You say, you don't watch the TV, then you tell everybody all about all the programs, everything that's in all the... See? I get preached at home. You get preached at home. So I was saying, will a real so-and-so stand up? And that's the way it is with the alternatives with the Lord. You know, you got your rods laid up in the holy place, and this one over here is swelling. That's the one that's going to bust. You know? And then it quits, and something over here rolls over on the floor. But that's it. And everything. And you're looking at these things and praying, oh God, don't let me get out of your will, Lord. And bang, one of them will sprout. Boy, you have to wait. Because sometimes it's not that one that got swole up, or this one over here that rolled on the floor, but something you didn't expect. And the first thing you know, you find yourself in God's will, and it's in a new way because you waited. If you jump the traces, then you've got some backwatering to do. All right. So they lodged there before they passed over, place of preparation. Verse 2. Now you'll find this expression on the third day, over and over and over in the scripture. And remember in John 2:1, it says, in the third day there was a marriage of Cana in Galilee. And it's talking about Hosea 6, verses 1 and 2. And also what Jesus said, I must walk the first day and the second day, and the third day I'll be perfected. And we are at this place of lodging today in Christianity. If you don't think there's a change in the spiritual realm, ask the people that you know in other churches. Ask them what's going on. Ask them if they're happy. Find out what's going on, and you'll see what has sufficed to this hour is no longer working. It's not working anymore because we are in a place of lodging. We are at a crossroads in the spiritual realm. You can't go back to old Pentecost. It won't work anymore. You can't even go back to what worked 2 years ago. It will not work anymore. 1 year ago, I think you can't even go back to May, if the truth be known. Because we are in a lodging place, and God... I can sense the presence of God Almighty, and I'm watching. I don't know which way this thing is going to go. I can see this swelling up, and I think, that's it, you know. And what God's going to do is going to use the Catholic Church. That's it. Put us all to shame. Then something else. There'll be a movement over here. There's a revival in Canada. That's it. God's going to bless Canada. But I have the feeling in my bones we haven't seen it yet. We haven't seen the big move yet. But God's around. I can feel it. And he said, and in this third day is very symbolic, because for the first time in the history of the world, the church has been ready not only to preach the gospel to every creature, but also Jesus is coming soon, and we actually will rule this world. Praise the Lord. So we're near this third day. He's kept the good wine until now. The third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and we are at the time now for the marriage of the Lamb, for our relationship with Jesus, to where there is nothing held back. And listen, he is totally demanding. The day is over, and we can play church games, and we can say, I'll give this to the Lord, but not this. I'll give that to the Lord, and not that. If you want to go with the Lord, you have to give yourself wholly to him. Wholly to him. I mean, wholly to him. There's no place for almost when it comes to the marriage supper of the Lamb. All right? In verse 3, verse 2. The officers went through the host. Now, the word host means army. And we have known Jesus as the good shepherd. We have known him as the teacher. We have known him as the loving Lord who takes us at death. We're safe in the arms of Jesus and brings us safely over the Jasper Sea. We know the Jesus that reaches down the nail-pierced hand and raises the drunk from the gutter. We know the Jesus of the grand pardon, who can cover any sin. We know that Lord. But the Lord of armies, we do not know. We do not know. We haven't been here before. It's a new way. It's a new way for the church. The old things, the ways of the predominance of theology, rather experience, is over. It's over. The officers, that is God's leaders, those that he raises up, are moving through God's army. And it implies many things. Discipline. Courage. It means divesting ourselves of the world. Remember it says, no man that wars entangles himself. Well, before we could be nice people and get ourselves saved, stay entangled. But you can't, as a soldier, you can't do it. You will cause a rub in your life. Pretty soon one's going to go the other, either the world or the Lord. All right, verse 3. They commanded the people. Now, God's people do not like that. They do not like that. Boy, you better, you know, be careful how you speak to God's people or leave the church. They will. You know, you go commanding me around here. Forget that. And you've got to kind of, like somebody said, you've got to have bait on the hook. Pretty soon you've got a hook about the size of a paperclip and bait about the size of a tub of butter. You'll be lucky if you find a hook. Well, kingdom preachers are not like that, and God doesn't want them like that. It is not a time to coddle people. A while ago, and not here or any place you know, so don't be wondering, I had to discipline someone because of they persisted in a misuse of a gift of the Spirit. They persisted in it. And God knows, I think the people in this church will testify I'm gentle. If I can find a way to bolster somebody, even I think they're in the flesh, I figure, well, I'm in the flesh half the time myself, so I usually don't come slam, bang, you know, you're in the flesh, get out of here, you know, three messages and tongues in the bit. So I tend not to do that. In fact, one sister persisted, it was for a year. After 6 months, I spoke to her privately. She didn't correct herself, gave her another 6 months, and after a year, I finally said something to her that could be considered to be a command. I said, sit down. That was the end of that problem. But I think we have to be gentle with God's people. But you see, the ministry is used to being nice. The day is over. We're not called to be nice. Someone said, he said, I think you showed enough love. Someone was commenting on this situation. I think you showed enough love that the person will probably recover. But it was so dangerous, you know, because they would get their feelings hurt. And I said, yes, I know. I don't want to crush people, you know, because it's a day to enter into ministry, not to make a mistake and have them throw you out, you know, throw you and your ministry out of the church. I said, I tried to do it in a right way, in a way that would be instructive and helpful, not only to the individual, but to the entire group. And then I said to this person, something flashed in my mind, you know, my mind went back to boot camp, the Marine Corps. And I got to thinking about the men that had come back from combat that were teaching us various skills, knife skills, bayonet skills, and different things like that. And I thought, wouldn't that be great? If you do something and your drill instructor shows you to do something and you do it wrong, and he knows if you do that, you're going to get your throat cut or a knife in your back, and he's afraid to tell you for fear it might hurt your feelings. His concern is that you learn it correctly because it's your life. Isn't that right? So, I don't know how it was in your platoon, but in my platoon, they threw stones at you. And that way you got the message. They wasted no time. You did it wrong, accompanied to the tune of some very colorful language. You don't do it like that. Not unless you want to get yourself killed. So I thought, well, nobody went around saying, did you get your feelings hurt? Did you get your feelings hurt? Don't say that, because that's a sensitive thing there. And how's that person going to feel? You know, they didn't do it that way. They had a different system for doing that. That was called survival of the fittest or something. Well, I don't say to be like a Marine Corps drill instructor with God's people. You know, I think it would astonish them completely. But, you wouldn't even be able to pay for remodeling the building, let alone for anything else. So we've got to realize that things, they are changing, and expect as we get closer and closer to the kingdom of God, you can expect more of the James and Paul and Peter and John kind of preaching. You know, he that commits sin is of the devil, that's what John said. He didn't put a great big wall of explanation. He just said, he that commits sin is of the devil. Right? So, yes, there will come commands. And the soldiers of the Lord obey the Lord. They're used to obeying the Lord. And when someone's preaching in the Spirit, they know it. And they don't expect to be coddled. They expect to be told the truth and to know the mind of God for the moment. Isn't that true? A kingdom preacher keeps himself under the stern discipline of the Lord. He keeps himself first. And then he expects people to do what God says. Praise the Lord. Not have to keep rubbing their head to know that everybody loves him and, I'm okay, you're okay. Praise the Lord. Well, we are all okay. But things are going to be moving in a hurry in the future. Then we find in verse 3, follow the ark. In other words, salvation is not where we decide what we're going to do, and God help, we've got to follow the ark. Now, the ark will rest, the ark will move, and God gives commands that make no sense. Instead of going up and laying a siege against Jericho, they marched around it once a day for 6 days, seven times on the seventh day. Now, that's a bunch of foolishness. Here, the people of Jericho were getting a free parade. I suppose by Wednesday they were selling popcorn and balloons on the wall. Guess what these people are going to do next? You never saw anything. What's going on outside the wall? Well, get up on the wall. You're going to miss it if you don't hurry up. It's a, oh yeah, it's a 2 minutes. And here they come. Look, did you ever see anything like that? What's that box in the middle? Well, I don't know. But here goes this group of maniacs marching around the wall. Well, this is an entertainment going on here. Well, are they shooting? No, they are shooting. They're blowing on their trumpets. Pretty soon they'll be charging admissions. Probably by Sunday what they'll do is come in and pass the hat. You know, you cannot figure always the sense that God has in what he's doing. So, you couldn't get people back there and say, I didn't study that when I was in war college. You know, that's no way to fight a battle. You follow the ark. You do what the priest said. If it's nuts, you do what the priest said. The priest got to make sure they're hearing from God, not out of their own prayer. All right. When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place. Now, you say, well, boy, if I was there, I'd have pranced right along with the best of them. You know, they were just as scared as you and I. They had wives. They had children. They were going into battle against an enemy that they feared, and they were plenty worried. And it was no small thing to keep from your feet from turning around and going the other way. So, the point is, the word of the kingdom is going forth today. No question about it. I can hear it. You can hear the change all over. People who have nothing to do with are preaching the kingdom of God and the army of the Lord, the rest of God, victory over sin. You have to leave your place. Praise the Lord. The day of business as usual is over. It's to all of us, it means different things. To each one of us, it means something different. Maybe you've never been challenged this way. Maybe basically for you it's still, there's been no real change in your life. I'm of the opinion that you cannot offer to God that which costs you nothing. There's a time when God gives, 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 and you receive, 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 and God blesses you. It's a time to be thankful. Said he, Mary, let him sing psalms. It's a time to be thankful. And then there comes a time when God says, I want you to do so and so. And it's contrary to what you thought. It's different from what you expected. If you love the Lord and the cords are cut in your life and you've already kissed this world goodbye, there'll be a sense of joy. There'll be a sense of expectation. Oh boy, things are going to change. I'm bored where I am. And it may not be much fun, but you come out of it a better person. You know, until you're poured from vessel to vessel, your smell remains the same. Your smell remains the same. There's basically no change. You're just a person that knows more about God than you did before. But you yourself have never met the man with the sword in his hand. And there comes a time, you can't rush it. The best thing to do is to be happy. But just remember, some of you I think are in this today. I think you're here now. And God is putting it right to you. I'm going to change you. I'm going to move things in your life. You can choose to try to go on in the same old way and pump it up and work it off and sound like you used to. But it's gone and you know it and God knows it. And you know, if you keep a happy attitude,
and just let the Lord take you. Sure, it's strange. It's unsettling. It's different. It's nothing you ever imagined. You might see yourself working with the high and the mighty, and God might be ready to bring you down to Skid Row. You might be a person that's happy with Skid Row, and God makes you president of a college. You just can't figure it out. But it's wonderful, and it's of the Lord. And when we go through this time of upheaval and change and threatening, we come out like the Hebrew children. We didn't like getting thrown in, and we're afraid of our life. Brother, sister, when you come out, you've got more than you went in with. I mean, you've got a story to tell your grandchildren that you won't have if you say, Neb, let me tell you something. You said to bow down. Let me think about that. Is it all right if I kind of curtsy? You know, I got friends and they're Jews and all, you know. I'm not a Jew, really. I mean, I've got a Babylonish name. And is it all right if I just kind of curtsy a little? No, it isn't. Is it all right for me to be ashamed of Jesus and preach the Lord as his undercover agent? No. No. If you're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of you. What I do. King, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. We don't know about anything else. All we know is we're not going to serve you. Praise the Lord. We're going to go with God, and if we die, we die. But you won't die. You will die. Yes, you will. But when you come out, you'll know God, not about God. God. Praise the Lord. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I feel this morning there's some here that need to take a stand for God. Now, you're the only one that knows. No one else. I felt impressed as I prayed this morning. Some need to hear that their problems can be kicked if they're willing to kick them. The victory has been won for you already, and what a tragedy it would be if you let the devil talk you out of it because of fear or pride or stubbornness or whatever your secret motive of your heart may be. It would be a shame to miss the glory because of some hidden bondage you feel is too big for you, but God says it's not too big for you. It's not too big for God, and he will do it for you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's times when I feel people should come to the front, but I don't feel that in this case. It's going to have to be something between you and God. Not even going to ask you for a show of hands, lest you be so busy battling your people's opinions that you're not honest with God. I'm going to ask you to go into your heart. Forget about people. Forget about what they think. Everybody's rooting for you if you only knew it. It's the devil that's a liar. Remember, he's the accuser of the brethren. And you can overcome this person that's accusing your brethren to you by the blood, by the word of your testimony. And your testimony is not that you're whipped. Your testimony that is that in Jesus you are more than a conqueror. Let that testimony overcome. And finally, by loving not your life unto the death, it doesn't matter whether your way is perpetuated. Get lost in the ocean of God. Get lost in the ocean of God. There's 5 billion people in the world, and there may be 500,000 that are waiting for you to decide whether you want to be a warm seed in the cozy barn or whether you want to fall into the ground and die. But if you're going to overcome the one that's accusing your brethren to you, you're going to have to stand up on your hind legs and confess that Christ is victor and you in him. And that his blood has given the victory over every right of the devil to have anything to do with you. And that you're willing to let God take your life and make of it what he will. Praise the Lord. So now I'm going to pray, and you're free. Nobody knows it's you. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Nobody knows it's me. It's just me and God and you and God. Father, we come unto you this day, Lord. Hallelujah, we know there is kingdom power here this morning. We know there is the name of Jesus, the Lord, at which hell trembles in abject terror and dread, lest your saints find out the power that there is in the name of Jesus. We know the might of the Spirit of God, the terrible Spirit of God that breaks the yoke is among us. Hallelujah. The fire of God is here to expose the works of hell. And Lord, we feel that we're talking to some of your conquerors this morning. Lord, that have met a stronger enemy than they had counted on. And they may be tending to say at this point, this is too much a part of me. This is more than God can lick. I'm afraid to be changed. I'm afraid to let go. I'm afraid. And I'm afraid of being afraid. God, you said you have not given us the spirit of cowardice, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I want you to confess to God, if you want to be delivered, the thing that is troubling you, no matter how scared you are, let Jesus take it this morning. Confess it before God now, whatever may be the root of it, and it certainly will include fear of what it will entail to you to let go and let God penetrate the secrets of your heart and to just get in with his knife and dig deep as a dentist does till he gets to the bottom of the cavity and scrape some on the enamel so that it won't come back. Let God get down into your personality now. And I come, Father, in your name, the saints agreeing with me now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Satan, we come against you. You roots of cowardice, we come against you in the name of Jesus, and we command you to leave. In Jesus' name, let it go. We come against the timidity. Leave! You devil, in Jesus' name, leave! We bind you at the root. We bind you at the root. We bind you, hallelujah. I feel a release there. Someone, I think, hallelujah, released that thing unto God. Hallelujah, we come against any other source, stubbornness. We come against you, Satan. We know your tricks. You're like witchcraft. And we come against you in the name of Jesus the Lord. We bind you, you demon of hell. We bind you in the name of Jesus, you destroying spirit. We bind you at the root. Loose and leave us in Jesus' name. The root of you, leave us. You satanic thing, you belong in the fire. You will go there. We command you in the name of Jesus the Lord. We come against every root of unforgiveness in the name of Jesus. Every root of unforgiveness in the name of Jesus. Every root we come against you in the name of Jesus the Lord. And we command you to leave in the name of Jesus. Every bit of malice, we judge you as being worthy of the pit of the lake of fire, and we commit to leave God's people now. Hallelujah. Let the sword of the Lord cut deep. Hallelujah. We come against every spirit of suspicion, every spirit of murmuring and gossiping that the adversary has planted to accuse the brethren. We come against every bit of evil that's been caused by the accuser, and we bring it out into the light. And we say that Satan has said that to you about your brother or your sister. And it's a lie to tear you down because they love you and are supportive of you and are praying for you. And we come against that thing and that lie in the name of Jesus. Leave us, you thing from hell. Leave us.
Hallelujah. We stand in the cross. We stand in the blood. And we confess. Now let's all confess together. Jesus is Lord. Say it with me. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is conqueror. Say it. Jesus is conqueror. And now let's say, Jesus has overcome and I have overcome in Him. Jesus has overcome and I have overcome in Him. Let's say, Jesus has conquered and I have conquered in Him. Jesus has conquered and I have conquered in Him. Hallelujah. Let us say that Jesus has stepped on the enemy and I step on the enemy. Jesus has stepped on the enemy and I step on the enemy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 It is a time to take the kingdom. Rise up, ye strong hosts of the land. Every power and dominion is given now into your hand. To hear the trumpet, you yet have heart to understand. It is the time to take the kingdom. Rise up, possess the land. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Let's stand and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's liberty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just assert yourself in the Lord. Step out in Him. Hallelujah. 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 This is a new day. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is conquest in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, we take the victory in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Wonderful. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for dying to make this tremendous release possible. Praise your name. Hallelujah. We do glorify you. I'm going to ask our brother Bob Eaglin to just thank God for His work, mighty works among us this day. Praise the Lord.
Oh, Lord God, there's a new joy and a new release in our hearts.
Yes, Lord.
We praise the Lord for your mighty ways. Lord, you have had the victory, and we have had the victory because of you.
Yes.
Claim it in our innermost being, Lord Jesus. We want to be more than a servant. We claim to be a friend of you.
Yes,
Lord. This is our claim and our right. And we seek it, Lord, in your holy place. The most important place in our heart, Lord, is you, Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for this time, Lord. We go out in your victory.
Yes, Lord.
Your victory. We claim Jesus.
Yes.
The core of all things that are not of this world.
Yes, Lord.
Praise your holy name.
Yes,
Jesus is Lord, and we are more than conquerors.
Yes, we confess that, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
praise your holy
name. Yes, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.